Amen. And God says, and He will supply all of our need according to His riches in glory. Amen. And you know what? Not only does He that, but He prepares for the future. That's why we've got a mansion. Amen. Hymn number 444, I've got a mansion as we stand.
We want to dismiss Junior Church. Junior Church is for fifth grade and under. We want to dismiss Junior Church right now for fifth grade and under. Thank you. Amen.
And 444, I've got a mansion. It's required to do all these verses, amen. Amen. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. A little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want the gold one that silver line. I've got a mansion that's over the hilltop.
A shack. All right. I mean, it looked pretty. Y'all today. I've got a mansion. Look like y'all are. I mean, I don't know. My dad always weaned on dill pickle juice. You know, listen. I got a mansion. Amen. It's in heaven today. We're gonna talk about that here in just a minute. Look, come. So I want y'all to. We're gonna sing the chorus again. We're gonna have brother. And y'all, you know, y'all. Do y'all ever watch Lonnie when he sings? Okay, some of y'all have been watching him a long time, but you hadn't learned anything. Amen. Now, Lonnie gets happy. Amen. Well, if he can get happy about him singing, listen, we ought to be able to get happy too. So we're going to sing the chorus again, and sing it like you're happy to have it. Amen. I don't want a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. That's not what God promised me. He promised me a mansion in glory, amen. So we're going to sing that chorus again. And I want you to really sing it out. Let's lift the roof on this place, amen. Here we go. I've got a mansion.
saints of God, at this time, you may be seated as we prepare for this morning's special.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced head. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the
First Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 9. And if you would, if you're able, you please stand in honor and reverence of reading the Word of God. We're going to talk to you this morning about something about the Lord's been after me. We haven't finished the T books, but the Lord's been after me about preaching something about salvation the last few weeks. And one thing I've tried to do for the last 30-something plus years is do what God said. You know, He has a way of telling you to do stuff, and we need to have a way of listening to Him. Amen. Oh, by the way, we do have a way of listening to Him. He's called the Holy Spirit. And so, 1 Peter chapter 1, found your place, amen. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a faulty hope, unto a dead hope, amen. You know, I like stuff that's alive, amen. A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It didn't stop there. Notice that's a comma after the word dead. Begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And we are there today. We are in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Father, I pray, God, that you'd be with us today. And Lord, help us to always be thankful for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And thank you, God, for giving me that assurance of salvation, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers, that cleanses me from all sin, that has covered me, Lord, today. And God, I'm thankful for that today. So, Lord, please speak to our heart as we begin to talk about salvation a little bit today. I pray, God, that you'd help me to preach with, Lord, the boldness of the Holy Spirit of God, and, Lord, with liberty that comes only from you. And so, Lord, help me to stay out of your way. Fill me, Lord. Fill this place with your presence. Manifest yourself today in a special way, Lord. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the greatest needs today, I believe, among church people is that we need to recognize the difference between religion and salvation. Okay, religion is just a trick of the devil to get your focus off of Jesus Christ. Amen, and if he can get our focus off Jesus Christ, he wants us to, you know, he wants to make us feel good at little or no cost of ourself. Are you still with me? Say amen. Listen, I think you know that religion will not get you to heaven. It won't forgive your sins, and it will not answer prayers, and it will not satisfy you in your Christian life. And there's a lot of confusion today about religion and also redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people today that go to churches just like this one, and a lot of different kinds of churches. But my question is, do they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? That ought to be our goal here today, is to have a relationship with the Lord. Amen. I mean, we see these churches all over the country, but I wonder if they have the power of God in them. Listen, I don't want to be here, and as Scripture talks about, I don't want us to be of sounding of brass and of tinkling of cymbal. In other words, I don't want us to be just going through the motions today. I want us to come here today and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in this place. And I want the Spirit of God to be so heavy upon this place and upon our hearts that we cannot step or stand in the places where we are seated this morning and be okay. I want us to feel the moving of the Holy Spirit of God in this place to the point to where if there's something in us, no matter how small we think it might be, that we'll come to this place, this altar, and we'll get it right with God. Amen. Many today in churches, they've got to where they focus on programs and having a good time, and they meet all the social needs of the people and of the flesh, and But listen, but folks, there's a lot more than just the social needs and meeting the needs of this flesh. There's spiritual needs as well. And I believe with all my heart that if we can take care of the spiritual needs that lie within us today, that all those other things will take care of itself. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In other words, let's get the spiritual things right, and then the other things will follow suit, and God's people can say amen. Many of the churches today are filled with religious people. They're filled with church-going people. But I ask again, but are they soul winners? Do they witness for the cause of Christ that others might know Jesus Christ as their Savior? And people are coming to church today not for the reason to come and hear, from God, or come to worship a merciful God, but they just come to satisfy that notch on their calendar. It's Sunday, and that's just what we do. Listen, we need to understand that there's more to coming to church than just coming to church. I mean, there's more to it than that. And I don't want you to come just because it's something that we do on Sunday morning, but it's an opportunity for us to come and hear the Word of God taught in our Bible study classes. And listen, if you don't come Sunday school, you ought to come. I mean, listen, that's an opportunity that will help us to grow in the Word of God and become more foundational Christians in the things of God, so we'll not be so easily moved when the things of this old world come and fight against us. And then when we come in here, we need to understand that this is totally different. There's a difference between teaching and preaching. The goal is not the same. But there is a goal, and we ought to come to church with a purpose. And that purpose today is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And as a lady saying, I am thankful for the cross today. I'm thankful for the nail-pierced hands of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for his shed blood today. Listen, and without that, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. But we need to understand that because of all those things, as 1 Peter teaches us, we have an incorruptible salvation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Our salvation, our incorruptible salvation, is provided by an incorruptible God. Romans chapter 1. Get over here. And look in verse 21 through verse 24. It says, because that when they knew God. Now, I want you to see that. It says, because that when they knew God. They knew him. You follow me? They knew him. They knew he was God. They knew who he is. Listen, there's a lot of people, they know God's real. But watch, look at the next verse. But they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And watch, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, because they did these things, because they professed themselves to be wise, because they became vain in their imagination, because they have made God into an image made with their own hands, because they did these things, because they glorified God not as God, watch, that God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Listen, I want you to understand something today, that God only deal with man so long, and then he says, listen, you want to go that way? Take off. And that's what's happened in our world today, by the way. That's why we're seeing so much ungodliness going on in our world, and people, and I'm not even going to give Satan that time today, but I'm telling you, we live in a corrupted world today. But I want you to understand that we have an incorruptible salvation, that no matter what man may try to do, that it has been provided by the one incorruptible God. Amen. In this first chapter of Romans, Paul describes the stages of the Gentile world apostasy, and, And he declares that when people knew God, as we already said, they refused to glorify God. They weren't thankful. They became vain in their imagination. They professed themselves to be wise, and they became fools. Folks, listen, people know who God is, but I want you to understand the majority of people today, they do not glorify him. Listen, and if you don't believe me, again, just watch the news a little bit. Our country is getting further and further away from God on a daily basis, but we've got to be careful that it doesn't take place in our pews, in our churches, and more specific, in this church. I am not accountable for the other churches that go on, and I thank God for our other good fundamental Baptist churches, but I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible for Central Park Baptist Church. And I'm here to let you know today that God help us to understand that we have to be careful. We must, as God's people, understand that we must give glory to a holy and a righteous God. Amen. We need to stay close to him. And the people that Paul is describing here in Romans 1, they became so religious that it led them into idolatry. And the glory of the incorruptible God was changed. But I like what else Paul said. He tells us that our God, watch, is incorruptible. And if our God is incorruptible, then he is eternal and he can never cease to be. Psalm chapter 90 and verses 1 and 2. It tells us that God has been from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, he is eternal and he cannot pass away. Before everything, anything at all came into existence, God was already there. You can go back in time. If you had a time machine and you know, like the old movie, at the time machine, they set that thing and they went back in time. Listen, if you could go back and set that time machine and go back a million years, as the evolutionists want to do, if you want to go back a billion years, as the evolutionists want to do, I want you to know when you get there, God's going to be there waiting on you. Why? Because God is eternal, and he is incorruptible, and a salvation that's provided by an eternal, incorruptible God is a salvation that is also incorruptible and eternal, and it cannot pass away. We are saved with an eternal salvation. Amen. We're also covered with his incorruptible blood. Look in 1 Peter, look back over, and look in verse 18 and verse 19. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. That word conversation means your vain living. Now received by, watch, tradition from your fathers. But you have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In these verses, we learn that our redemption was not wrought through any means that can corrupt. Listen, he lets us know how that tradition is corruptible. Are y'all with me? Listen, tradition is corruptible. Ordinances are corruptible. Water is corruptible. Listen, if that water can save you, listen, I'm telling you, you leave it up there for a little while, and pretty soon that water's going to start stinking. My dad always said, "You can, if that water can save you, you can stay in it till the tadpoles know your Social Security number." Amen? But as soon as you get out, you are lost if that water can save you. Listen, water is corruptible. And even the church as we know it today is corruptible. Amen? Listen, if our redemption is not wrought with the things which are incorruptible, then folks, we are bound for hell and Satan can stop trying so hard. But I thank God today that our redemption is wrought through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Incorruptible. Amen. I like what Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. We quote this verse all the time, and if you talk to anybody that wants to go to heaven by any other means, they'll say, yeah, you Baptists, you always go there. Okay, what's your point? I mean, why not? It's the Word of God, amen? And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, just in case anybody boasts about it. Amen. Boy, look what I did. I'm telling you, if we get to heaven through the works that we've done, you know what? They're going to be up there. People got their thumbs all tucked up under their arm. Prison. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, y'all know, you want to know what I did to get here? It ain't nothing like you did. I did a whole lot more than you. I'm telling you, I know how Brother Marco got here. It ain't nothing. I'm telling you. I worked for mine. He didn't do diddly. I watched him. He didn't work. He didn't do anything. But I want you to know that I worked hard. You ought to see it. You don't believe me. I'm telling you, I see people do that today. I tell them, say, here, let me pat you on your back so you don't hurt your arm. Amen. Listen, we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of Almighty God. Amen. I also like what Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I am overjoyed that the redemption that I possess is the redemption that's going to protect me when I stand before a holy and a righteous God. Amen. Because when he sees me through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood of Christ is a guarantee. I like guarantees. Amen. I mean, it's, you know what a guarantee is? In the Greek, it means it's a guarantee. Amen. No matter what happens, it doesn't matter. I've got a guarantee. And the Lord guaranteed me that he said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's his guarantee. He guaranteed me that. He said that when I trusted him as my Savior, that, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he gave me a place in heaven. Listen, the blood of Christ is a guarantee that will, listen, that one day when I stand before him, he's going to say, enter ye in into the joy of the Lord. That's his guarantee. And it was guaranteed to me by the incorruptible blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, what's provided by the incorruptible God through the incorruptible blood of his only Son, becomes ours by the power of his incorruptible word. John chapter 3, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus there, and he comes to the Lord, and he's seeking salvation, and the Lord's trying to help him, and Nicodemus is he's a knowledgeable guy, and he, you know, he's pretty smart, but he's smart in the things of the world, in the knowledge of man. And the Lord says, listen, Nicodemus, you must be saved. You got to be born again. And Nicodemus says, born again? How can I be born again? Can I enter in the second time into my mother's womb and be born again? And the Lord said, listen, wait a minute. That which is flesh is flesh, and that which is a spirit. Listen, we must be born by the word of Almighty God. Amen. An incorruptible word. The new birth. And by the way, if we are born again, we ought to act like we're new, not act like that old guy. I'm glad I'm saved. I do not want to act like that old guy. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, we've been talking about a pure conscience. And how the conscience is a window of our soul, a window that lets in the light of the things of God. And there's a lot of people today, listen, when some of y'all's window may be a little dirty. And the thing, the Holy Spirit tries to get through y'all's window, and it filters out a lot of the things of the Holy Spirit of God, and the convicting power of the Spirit of God doesn't bother us like it used to. I don't want to get that way. Listen, I want to keep my window clean. I don't want to allow that thing to get. I was telling the people, listen, you got to be careful. Have you ever noticed you got to be careful what you wash off glass with? If you wipe it off with the wrong thing, listen, it's more dirty and harder to see through than it was when you started. Listen, there's a lot of people today that want to wash their conscience with the works of this whole world. You know what that does? It'll smudge your conscience. Amen. We try to wash our conscience through, you know, some little prayer about God. You know, we really don't mean it. We're not sincere. God help me. I'm sorry I did that. And we're right back doing it tomorrow. Our window's dirty. Listen, if you want a clear conscience, you need to wash it with something that'll get it good and clean. Amen. And you know what that is? Here it is, the incorruptible word of Almighty God. Listen, we got to make sure today that we understand that our salvation has been wrought to us through the incorruptible Word of God. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 gives us the how of the new birth. It says being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Listen, Paul said to the Romans, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Jesus said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him, there it is. He didn't say, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and is baptized, he that heareth my word and you do some good works for the rest of your life, that you hold out faithful to the end. No, that's not what he said. He said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. Listen, it's not good singing that brings forth the new birth. I like good singing. Amen. That's why I listen more than I do it. Because I like good singing. I like good gospel singing. You know what a good gospel is? Listen, what's the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. These ladies sing to talk about how the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to talk about him. Good singing will help bad preaching any day. But although you need to be a tither and be obedient in it. Now some, listen, if you tithe, say amen. Listen, some of you may have said amen just because you didn't want to look guilty. Amen. It's not tithing that brings salvation. It's not church ordinances that brings forth the new birth. But it's the Word, listen, it's the Word of God, the incorruptible Word of God. That's the seed that brings forth the new birth. God said it's by the foolishness of preaching. You know what? Preaching what? Just getting up here and telling you what you want to hear, patting you on the back, telling you're a good person, and you know, you just hold out faithful to the end, and you just keep coming, and we'll keep putting on a show and be entertaining to you, and when you leave, you'll feel good, and man, when it comes down to the end of the way, you'll be in heaven. That's not it. It's the preaching of the Word of Almighty God that gets us saved. The incorruptible Word. Listen, a lot of people want to go to church today and just leave and just feel good. Listen, if you're doing the right thing, then listen, when you leave, you'll feel good. There's a lot of people that'll come and they'll sit and hear the exact same message, and somebody over here will say, man, preacher, I'm telling you, I appreciate that message. It spoke to my heart and it really helped me out. And then somebody over here will say, man, I'll tell you what, I don't know what got into that preacher today, but I am mad, and I don't know why he preached like that, but I'm never back. I just feel like I'm beat up all the time. Well, get right. The Word of God brings forth the new birth, and God's Word is incorruptible. So when we're born of God, we live forever. 1 Peter 1:23, again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 2 Peter 1:4 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Well, I'm in. You follow me? I'm in. You know how I got in? I believed on God the Father, and I believed on the Son who came and died on the cross for my sin. And I said, come into my heart and save me. Well, and when I did that, when I asked, he saved me, and he put me in Christ Jesus. And can't nobody, no thing separate me from the salvation of God. Listen, there is no condemnation. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. thank God for the incorruptible word that makes us wise unto salvation. So all who possess this incorruptible salvation and that come through the incorruptible blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of an incorruptible word, watch this, we possess through this incorruptible salvation an incorruptible inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Look back there. I want you to stay with me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved. Well, I'm telling you, Paul got a little carried away, didn't he? Or look at it. He says, it's an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and he just keeps going, the fade's not away, it's reserved in heaven just for you. Man, I'm telling you, I want you to understand that we have something that is out of this world. The world wants to put the Christian in the box. In fact, they want to put us in a box and put us under the ground. They'll say that, listen, if the world could just get rid of the Christian, it'd be a whole lot better off. Well, they're exactly right. It's going to be a whole lot better off for 3.5 years. But then all hell's going to break loose. Literally. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. But I'm not going to be here. You say, how do you know? Because that's what he said. He says that we have an incorruptible inheritance, listen, reserved for us in heaven. Our inheritance at the end of life's journey is incorruptible. Watch, and that inheritance begins when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then God gives you the ability to add to that inheritance by being a good steward of what He's given you. Brother Marco preached on stewardship just the other Wednesday night. Listen, a good steward is taking care of something that belongs to somebody else the way they want us to take care of it, not the way we want to take care of it. You know, Brother Shelton, if he gives me something and he says, okay, you do this and this and this with this, and I'm going to be back and make sure, and then he gets out of the deal for about a week, I do exactly what he says. And then after a week is up, it's like, you know, I really don't want to do like this. That's kind of stupid anyway. I don't even like that. Well, I'm going to do what I want. Well, wait a minute. Hey, man, it doesn't belong to me. He's put it in my care. And he says, listen, this is the way I want you to take care of it. This is what I want you to do with it. And in order to be successful with it, then you've got to do it this way. You know, God's handed us the Word of God, and we're supposed to handle it with care. We're supposed to contend for the faith. And listen, and so if we don't do it the way God says, it's not going to be anything like God intended for it to be when He comes back after it. I'm afraid that the church today looks nothing like what God wants it to look like. I think it's going to even probably bother some of us. Listen, we've got to be careful. Listen, God has given us some things. He wants us to be a good steward. A good steward by being faithful, by being a witness, as we've already said, by being a good steward of our tithes and offerings, by also reading the Word of God. Listen, if you don't read the Bible, you ought to get you a reading plan. Read it. Read it. Listen, I'm telling you, this book is alive. And if you're having problems, it'll help you out a little bit. God, listen, and not just sit down and just, man, I got to read 2 chapters today or I'm going to get behind. And then we rush through it. Don't do that. Take your time. You ought to start at the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1, and you ought to read it all the way through the end of the chapter of the book of Revelation. And when you see something right in your Bible, it's okay. I know somebody says, oh, preacher, I don't want to write in my Bible. I write all over mine. I'm a Bible junkie. I've got Bibles everywhere, and I write in every one of them. And when I'm reading along there, and I read something this morning, and I read, and I thought, that's kind of cool. And I wrote something in there what the Lord showed me. I wrote it right, drew an arrow and pointed it right to that verse. Why? Because I may need that in about 6-8 months, and I may go back through there, and I may be reading that, and I'm thinking, well, praise the Lord, God knew I was going to need that today, and He gave it to me 6 months ago. Listen, read your Bible. Why? Because it's a lively hope. It is the incorruptible Word of God, and it will prepare us for our incorruptible inheritance. I've got a mansion. Amen. You know, some of our, are not ours, some of their other versions say that in my Father's house are many rooms. I don't want a room. I got a room. I've never lived in a mansion. But I'm going to one day. Oh, man, I've seen some. I remember in high school, I had a history teacher that showed us some slides. I mean, we could get him talking about stuff. He's a football coach, and we got him talking about anything but history. And then we had skipped through 45 minutes of history class with nothing. And he went to the Hearst Castle out in California. I believe that's the name of it. And, man, that thing is unbelievable. If I remember right, it's got a swimming pool with a gold-plated bottom. Oh, I'm telling you. And he was always adding on it. And he began to show us just rooms of this mansion. This was back in 1976 that he was showing this. And it's still out there. You can go take a tour through it. And I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. But it ain't nothing compared to what God has for us. Amen? Listen. Man, that didn't make our stuff. You know, be like the guy that loaded his pockets up. He knew he was going to die. He put all these gold coins in his pocket, and man, they put him in his casket, buried him. And when he got to heaven, had his pockets all full of gold, and Peter met him at the gate. And the guy said, man, look what I brought with me. And old Peter looked at him and said, look at that. You brought road material. Listen, why? Because the roads in heaven are paved with pure gold. Amen. But it is nothing compared to the mansion that God has prepared for me. Listen, I want you to understand today that we have an incorruptible inheritance. And the Bible says that it is kept watched by the power of God through faith, a home eternal in the city of Almighty God. Man, I'm thankful today. But you can't have it if you're not saved. You see? The only way you can have an incorruptible inheritance is to accept an incorruptible salvation. Watch, born again believers, watch, who are faithful will wear an incorruptible crown on their incorruptible bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul tells us that those who present their bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is their reasonable service, watch, pointing others to the Lord Jesus Christ, will wear an incorruptible crown. You say, well, how do you know? Because things that are corruptible cannot produce things that are incorruptible for heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Listen, I'm ready. I believe we are this close. We ate with my granddaughter last night, or my grandkids last night, and my son-in-law and daughter, and Tegan, she's 2, and she's sitting over here by me, and we were eating, and I started doing this to her, and, you know, like I was going to get her, and, you know, when you're grandparents, you can play. I don't care. She was slinging food everywhere. I didn't care. You know why? I don't have to clean her up. She gets stuff all over her clothes. I'm not taking her home. So I'm doing all this, and I mean, within a split second, she's out there going, I'm eating a minute, and I look over here at her, and she's going, and her little old fingers are just going back and forth. She's got that look in her eye, and her little old fingers just barely moving. And you know, when I thought about that, I thought, you know what, folks, we are this close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. This old world, you say, well, it can't get much worse. Yeah, I'm afraid it can. I mean, it's got a long way to go. But I'm telling you that one day, God said, we shall not all sleep. You know, we've all got loved ones that's in the grave. The bodies, you know, but their spirits with the Lord God. We all have loved ones on the other side. You know, but one of these days, he's coming after us. Man, the trump of God's going to sound. I'm not worried. So what? I'm ready to get out of here. I'm tired of this place. If you're not, then there's something wrong in here. And I don't mean that ugly, but listen, I'm telling you, there ought to be a longing in our hearts for heaven. We ought not to be tied down by the things of this old world. Listen, we have an incorruptible inheritance. We have an incorruptible home that's provided by the incorruptible blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have an incorruptible salvation. Listen, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready. I'm ready to get out of here. John describes our body. Listen, but we're going to get an incorruptible body. You know, sometimes I get up in the morning, and my wife says, you look like your daddy. And you get up, and you kind of waddle like this. I mean, and you know, and it's because your hips got to get oil greased up a little bit. You know, it takes a minute to get them working, you know. I mean, why? Because this old body, I'm telling you, we weren't made to be here forever. You know, I mean, we were before sin. But sin entered in, messed everything up. And we've made a junkyard out of something that God gave us. It was perfect. And we've done the same thing to this old body. But one of these days, we're going to get an incorruptible body. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. Wait a minute, I like them words. We know. I know. You may not know, but I know that I know. Amen? You still with me? That when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Listen, when the Lord comes back and the trump of God sounds, if I'm still here, listen, I'm going to hear the trump of God, and in the blink of an eye, I am changed, incorruptible, and I'm headed out. Listen, everybody who accepts the incorruptible word will inherit an incorruptible inheritance, and they cannot pass away. And we're going to wear an incorruptible crown. We're going to live forever in an incorruptible body in our incorruptible home. And the most reasonable thing, I want you to get this, and I'm done. The most reasonable thing any person has ever done or ever will do is hear the word of God and receive an incorruptible salvation. Listen, You want to make the best decision that you'll ever make? If you're here and you're not saved, get saved. You know, I was telling our class today, I've not always lived for God like I ought to, and I regret it. It bothers me to the nth degree. But I'm here today to let you know that for 35 plus years, I've done my best to live for God. You say you make mistakes? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure have. But I've done my best to go back and tell God I'm sorry. God's cleaned me up. He put me back where he wants me to be, and he let me get started again. But listen, I do my best to live for him today. And that salvation he has kept for me. I have given my eternal security over to him. Listen, this world didn't give me my salvation. So they can't take it from me. He gave it to me. And he said, I'll have everlasting life, incorruptible, by the incorruptible blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the incorruptible word of Almighty God. We're going to die, listen, and we're going to receive an incorruptible body. Listen, go to an incorruptible inheritance and wear an incorruptible crown that we can lay back at the feet of an incorruptible God. Listen, are you saved? If he came right now, would you be ready? I mean, you have lived this last week. You have lived this day up to this point, to the place where you say, Lord, man, you come now, I'm ready. And I don't have anything that I need to get right. You come back. Is that you? If it's not, then you ought to come and just spend a minute with God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And he will cover you. If you say that, he will cover you with the incorruptible blood. Listen, you've been covered through salvation. But listen, if we come, we can start all over brand new with him. And he'll, listen, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. But it starts with salvation. Are you saved? Father, help us. Speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful, God, that we have an incorruptible word from an incorruptible God. Lord, who